Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel to tell somebody tonight that you are a difference maker in your sphere of influence. You need to press that influence. You need to take it a step further. You need to walk in apostolic anointing in your workplace, with your friends. They know you're different. Amen? It's time to take this thing out of the box. They can notice that there's something different about you. God wants to show somebody what he's capable of. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love the spirit in this room. Amen. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 11. Before I begin with our paid programming, I'd like to officially thank this church so much for your support to our family. All of our illnesses and falling down the stairs and babies being born, you guys have been so kind and so loving to us. And you are beyond a church, you are a family. Amen. And we are so thankful as a family for you all. You make it all worth it. Amen. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. To be honest with you, as the week has gone by and time has gone by, I didn't know what to preach today. But God has unlocked for me a message that he had given me a long time ago. There are some messages that I believe that you unlock through experience. And so today I want to preach from this title, Somewhere Between Day 6 and a Miracle. Will somebody pray with me? In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for changing my heart, God, transforming my heart, God. I need you, Jesus. I need your word. And I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost, not only in this room, but in the soul, Lord, of every person in this room. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you draw us to a deeper communion with you, Lord God. Speak to me, God. Lord, I need you, Jesus, more than bread, God. I need you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now we know that, you may be seated. We know that this church can respond to worship. But promise with me that you will respond to the word of God. Amen, amen. We need it. It's his word that sanctifies, his word that sets free. Amen. Somewhere between day 6 and a miracle. We as humans are engineered and designed to love a good story. Does anybody in your family have somebody who's just known for telling a good story? And it doesn't even have to be a true one. Right? The fish was this big. I mean, as years go on, things just grow and the legend continues and grows. We love a good story. We have a guy at our work. His name is Jeremy. He is a colorful man. He just knows how to spin a tale, and he knows how to take people on a journey. And we just sit, and we can sit there for 10 minutes and listen to his stories because we know that in the end it's going to be worth it. You're going to be laughing. Keeled over, you know, dying laughing and talking about it the next day. We love a good story. We know this story My boy loves this story. We love this story and we get excited about it because we know the outcome. We know that the walls came tumbling down. Amen? But Joshua led a people that didn't quite understand how the outcome was going to turn out. They might have heard from God. But does human nature tell you that even though you might have heard from God, you still wonder in your heart? I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. And so Joshua led a people who all their lives have been told story after story after story. Because if you remember, these weren't the people that came out of Egypt. You remember your Bible reading as you went through January and February. You should be through Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. You remember how God's people got all the way to the promised land and fell short because of doubt and fear. And so Moses stood in the gap and interceded on their behalf. And God forgave them, but there was still a consequence, being that they would not be able to enter into the promised land. And so God told Moses that this people, including you, would wander in the wilderness until this generation would pass. Everybody from the age of 20 years old and upwards would die in the wilderness. Everyone from the age of 19 and under and those born in the wilderness would be able to pass on into their promise. And so could you imagine this whole generation hearing story after story of what their parents went through? They never experienced what life was like in Egypt. And if so, they were just children. You know, in Egypt, we had to work as slaves. In Egypt, we had to build blocks. In Egypt, we had to do this. You see, God made it a requirement that every parent would tell stories to their babies every day. When they're rising up and when they're lying down, when they go in the way and when they sit down, when they go to sleep and when they rise up. My child, God delivered us out of Egypt. He sent these plagues. He would be able to describe for them what the Passover was like, what that sound was like as every Egyptian household lost a firstborn child. These parents would be able to describe what it looked like to see the great Red Sea divided in half and being able to walk through and see fishes on both sides. My child, this is what it looked like when God sent manna from heaven. My child, this is what it looked like as we followed a pillar of fire and a pillar of a cloud. My child, this is what it looked like when the mountain was consumed with the fire of the glory of God. This is what it looked like when we were hungry and we murmured against the man of God. And so all their lives, these children heard story after story after story of the goodness and faithfulness of Jehovah. But they got to a point in their lives where a story was not enough. When a story just couldn't take them any further. Amen? In this apostolic generation, we need to understand that the stories of before cannot take us into where we are going. Amen? But we need the faith to walk beyond the stories. Amen? That they are good, and I am thankful for what our fathers went through. But I need this thing for myself. Amen? I need faith for myself. I need to learn to pray for myself and intercede for myself. Amen? My God. A story can only take you so far. We are thankful for the stories that have brought us to where we are. And they serve a place. They ought to direct our thinking and help us to remember that God is faithful beyond even just our own situations and lifetimes, but from generation to generation, from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So they heard story after story after story, but time was up in the great continuum of life, where it's time to stop telling stories And it's time to start walking into their own story. Amen? Walking out of the safety of the story and walking into their promise and walking into the pain and the doubt and the fear of the unknown. I know what God did for my daddy, and I know what he did for my grandpa. I know what he did for brother so-and-so and pastor who's that. But for me and my house, how will this God provide? Good for them. These people were led by a man of God who had a vision from the Lord. Amen. Anybody thankful for that in your life? That you can rest assured that you're submitted to somebody who has heard from the Lord? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. The Lord in all his glory speaks to Joshua and confirms, I am the same God of Moses and I will be with you, Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What God was telling Joshua was, Joshua, I'm giving you dominion, and you had better take it. You see, from the beginning of time, God has given dominion to those submitted to his authority. Adam and Eve, from the beginning, were given dominion. They weren't meant to just exist, meant to just eat the fruit and chill with the vegetables and name the animals, right? And swim with the dolphins. No, they were given dominion that they would exercise their power to lead as God would. God always gives dominion. He gave dominion to those that we claim to follow, that first apostolic church, to those that I am determined that we will follow. Amen. God, in all his glory, looked at Peter and said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Whatsoever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's dominion. He told the apostles over and over again, when you get together and when you pray in my name, believe. Because you're going to receive. He told them to knock and something's going to be opened up to you. He said, without prayer and fasting, you ain't going to do it. Keep on praying, apostles. Keep on praying, church, and something is going to happen. That is the language of dominion. The first church was given dominion. Jesus said that this power will make you a witness unto every nation. You see, the cool thing is that we know that we, as long as we stay in the church, are going to be successful. Because we know the end of the book. That there is praise in heaven out of every tribe and every nation and every tongue and every people. That's dominion. Amen? That is power. If we'll walk in it, God said, I give you the power to do something in your world. And so these children of Israel are given this promise to Joshua that if you will walk around the city, we've heard it a million times, but let your mind focus on what's going on here. They're finally walking on their own 2 feet. The only thing they've seen, and it's great, they saw Joshua part the water and walk through it. But they haven't seen all the things of the generation before them. They haven't seen an ounce of what God had in store for them. Amen? And we as a people, we've seen some things, but I don't believe that we've seen everything that God has in store for us. Amen? I don't believe it. I believe that there are greater things. Amen? That if we will walk, and if we will walk and walk and walk, God is leading you personally to greater things than you've ever experienced. And so they, as we read, they walk. And so their pattern from the angel of the Lord was to walk around the city one time and go back to their camp. I think we take for granted that, you know, it's scary to do something that you literally have never heard about before. I mean, this just isn't normal battle tactics to walk around with everybody that you've got, all your women's and children's. And the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, you lose the Ark of the Covenant, you're toast. To walk around completely vulnerable. I mean, it's scary to do something for God, but it's even scary to do something that you haven't even heard about anyone doing before. Amen? And I'm telling, if you're walking in apostolic anointing, if you're walking full of the Holy Ghost, sometimes God's going to ask you to do something that you've never even heard about. I've heard some things of faith, but how could God ask me to go this far? How could God ask me to give this much? How could God ask me to go to this place? I've never even heard of anybody doing that before. It's not an easy thing. So they walk around one time and they go back to their camp. These children of Israel are people like as we. There must have been conversation between all of them. What in the world are we doing? Okay, but we'll try it again. Day two. They get back to the camp. Is this even working? Because I don't see any change in my situation at all. Those walls are just as firm as they were before. The only difference is I'm a little bit more tired than I was before. Time has passed. I'm a little bit older than I was before. Why has God still not came through for me? Where is God? Because all I see are these walls in my life. Where is God? Because all I hear are the jeers and the taunts of the voices on the other side of the wall saying, "What are you doing, you fool? Who do you think you are coming against me?" I don't mean to be off topic, but when I think of this story, all I can think of are VeggieTales. Anybody ever seen the walls of... And I mean, they're dumping slushies over their head. I'm sorry, that's a tangent right there, but I had to go there. I had to get out of my system. So 2 days, they go, and they get back. Nothing happens. 3 days, they go back. Nothing has happened. 4, 5, 6 days, and nothing has happened at all. And this is the day that I want to talk about. Day 6. When God has given you a promise, day 6 is your hardest day. You know why day 6 is your hardest day? Because you're closer than ever to walking into the promises that have been set before you. And if you don't have a promise in your life, number one, I beg you to read your Bible again. Because God has promised not only his Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and victory and dominion in your life. But number two, get in prayer and seek after God until he gets a hold of you, until he promises some things to you, because he wants to have an individual relationship with you. And this thing is for you and not just for somebody in a suit. Amen? God wants to promise you some things. So day 6 is your hardest, is their hardest day. Why? Because they're the furthest they've ever been from the Word of God, from their promise. Come on, you know. I mean, if you ever heard a word from the Lord, you know that as time goes on, the enemy can try to steal that out of your ears. Right? Like that word that goes out to the ground and the birds of the air sweep it up and snatch it up and devour it. If you're not careful, the enemy, or even the greater enemy, your heart, amen, the greatest deceiver, can snatch that promise out of your heart and replace it. Come on, because there's going to be a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. There's going to be a vacuum and wants to replace that with doubt and with fear. And hath God said? What are you thinking? Walking around looking like a fool. Nobody else is doing this. Nobody else is worshiping like you are. Nobody else is praying like this. Nobody else is fasting. Nobody else is doing this. Those are the words of isolation, and that's not the Holy Ghost. That has never been and never will be the Holy Ghost in your life. Words of isolation. anytime that voice of isolation comes to you, I want you to remember that in the Bible, every time Jesus talks about isolation, that thing being isolated isn't saved, isn't doing well. Think about it. The lost penny, lost. Lost sheep, gone. Lost until Jesus returns it where? Back to the fold. The woman, back to her purse. The lost boy, my son is dead and is now alive. He's dead while he's lost. He's alive while he's back with his family. The vine, the branches. Jesus said, if you abide apart from me, you are lost. You are dead and you'll be swept up and cast into the fire. Amen. Jesus said through Paul that any member of the body that is apart from the body can't do anything at all. I mean, when you cut your hand off and you leave it on the ground for a good long while, I mean, Sister Kim, you're a nurse, right? What's going to happen? Probably not alive. Your hand's probably not going to be doing so well, right? I mean, all I've ever heard is it's a rush to get that thing reattached back to your body, that you have a limited amount of time or you will lose it forever. So these voices of isolation could speak into your heart and steal this promise out of you, out of your memory. Is that a word? Out of your memory. Amen. That's a King James word. Thank you. It's after the sixth day in the scripture that we have a pause. And it's after the sixth day in your walk with God that you'll have a pause. And I believe that as you sit down in your camp, you have a decision to make. Will I keep walking around these walls, or will I just go home? Will I keep praying that God will bring salvation to my coworker, or should I just give it up? Will I keep praying for these kids at school? Will I keep fasting over my family members? Will I keep believing in God for a new job? Amen. Or should I just toss it away? I pray you find somebody that will encourage you in the Lord. We have been so blessed to have people who have encouraged us in faith. Amen. People here will do that for you if they know what's going on. Amen. They love you. And I encourage you to be that encouragement to somebody else. Because we all got to have faith for one another sometimes. We all got to bear one another's burdens sometimes. And there are sometimes in day six when somebody is struggling. And you got to have the compassion to say, brother, is there something bothering you because you really look down? Sister, is something going on because you don't quite have that joy that you normally have? Amen. Be that one in day six to save somebody's promise. To save somebody's miracle, to say God is going to be faithful to you. The same God that promised to you years ago is the same God today. You need that voice. Somebody in here needs that voice. You need to be the one to step in to say, I will stand with you. Amen. Hallelujah. I've needed that voice. These people in day six, sitting at their camp, I'm sure they said something like, why would God make us so vulnerable walking around these walls? We are so weak. This is our weakest position. Everything is exposed. You know what speaks that voice is the voice of independence in your life. Independence will steal your victory and is the enemy of faith. Independence is the enemy of faith. If you pull anything else away, independence is the enemy of faith. Amen. To think I've got this on my own. I don't need anybody here. I don't need anybody there, but I can do it as long as I just keep walking around those walls long enough. And we might not say it. We might not say those words, but I think that sometimes I live those words. That, you know what, I don't need to pray about that anymore. God already knows. But Jesus said, woman, keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. And then at the end of that story, where that woman kept on knocking to that lawyer, He said, when the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith on the earth? Faith is defined by faith that just keeps on knocking. I don't care if I sound annoying, but Jesus, I need you to come through for me. Jesus, I need you to provide. Amen. Our independence will steal those things that God has spoken into our lives. Because we're so uncomfortable, and this is human nature, we're so uncomfortable with moving out of our comfort zone, moving out of safety. Amen? When God delivered Noah, what did he tell him? Go forth and multiply. Amen? What did the people of Babel do? They stayed back and built a tower. God destroyed their ungodly unity because they decided to stay put instead of going forth. Amen? Going forth is so uncomfortable and so unnatural. There is a lie from the enemy that what makes you want to believe that just because it feels unnatural, it must not be God. You believe that? Have you felt that? This doesn't feel right. Well, guess what? It doesn't feel right because you haven't lived that way all your life. The way I've lived all my life was full of apathy. The way I've lived all my life was just doing what I want to do. So yes, following the will of God doesn't feel right to me, amen, until I start seeking his face in prayer, until I start seeking godly counsel, until I get my face in his word. It doesn't feel right because my nature isn't right. My nature doesn't want the promise. My nature doesn't want the provision. My nature wants to stay back and watch everybody else do their thing and wait for God to come, amen? But that's not God's will for the church in this last day. God's will is for the church to go forth into the uncomfortable places and to move out, amen? We read and we teach Bible study after Bible study where we see how Abraham was called out to move. Abraham, go from Ur of the Chaldees. We read how Jacob was moved out. David was moved out. The apostles moved out. And yet me and my flesh, I want to stay back. Amen? The victory doesn't come by staying back. Amen? We need to walk. I need to walk in faith and say, God, this doesn't feel right. God, this doesn't seem right. But Jesus, we have your word. Jesus, we have your word that somebody is going to respond to this thing. Jesus, we have your word that when we pray that things will happen, that people will be healed. Jesus, we have your word that fasting will change things. Jesus, we have your word, amen, that no word will return unto you void, amen. We need to stand on his word before we stand on our understanding of his word, amen. The sixth day is so difficult. And I believe this is when the greatest attack of everything will come against you and want to steal what God has promised for you. Because the devil doesn't want you to walk in victory. Amen? The enemy knows what's coming. If you read your Bible, you'll read the accounts beforehand. How Joshua sent men into the city and Rahab told these men, you remember what they told him? These people are freaked out by your God. These people don't want to mess with this Yahweh person. They don't want anything to do with this dude. He sounds like a bad dude. They were scared. They were scared of what God would do to them. Rightly so. And so in the beginning of Joshua 6, the Bible says that the walls of Jericho were shut up, were completely shut. Defensive position, amen, because the enemy knew what was coming for them. Amen, the enemy knows what's coming for it in your life. That is why it fights you. That is why he fights you. That is why your flesh fights you, amen. That's why it's not easy to wake up and pray. That's why it's not easy to stay up and pray. That's why it's not easy to fast, easy to pray. Amen? Easy to share the truth. Come on. It's not easy to share the truth with somebody. That is so hard. I mean, man, everybody, no matter how long you've been doing it, you still feel this right here inside of, oh my goodness, am I really about to do this right now? And we jumped in. Amen. Joshua 6, in verse 16, we know what happens. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. C.S. Lewis rightly observed that your physical expression, your physical demeanor, is tied to your spiritual status. Let me explain that to you. What you're doing on the outside is indicative, or is showing what's going on the inside. Right? When somebody's talking to you and you're like, amen. That's why worship is so important. Don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't matter how you worship. It doesn't matter that you worship. Amen. God has demanded specific things about worship, and we can argue with him, or you can argue with him until the day we die, and we're going to be wrong until we stand before the throne room of God. Amen. Amen. He wants to see his people expressing joy before God, even though they might not see the victory yet. He wants to see his people jumping and shouting for joy. He wants to see his people leaping and singing and shouting. Amen. That's just a God thing. And you don't have to understand it to walk in it. You don't have to understand it to receive the blessing of obeying the Lord, because they didn't understand why they had to keep walking around these walls. Why is it, God, that I have to keep walking and walking and walking and walking? You know what? Maybe there isn't an answer on earth, except God wants to see if you'll follow him when you don't understand it, when it doesn't feel good. Amen. Because this is for God. This isn't for me. I don't worship because of you. I worship because of him. I don't pray because of you. It's all because of him. I need this like you don't know. Hallelujah. How we position ourselves matters. Amen? And that is why it's been preached and preached and preached and preached. Pastor mentioned it and spoke it on Sunday, that if you will praise him with everything you got, your healing is on the other side. Amen? Why? Because God's hand is tied to your expression of worship, your obedience. If you won't follow, don't be surprised when he doesn't do what you want him to do. Amen? The woman with the issue of blood couldn't be surprised that she wasn't healed if she never would have approached the master. Oh, Jesus just passed me by. I'm sitting in a crowd of 400 people. I'm at the back of the crowd, sitting there. And Jesus didn't touch me. Come on. But she said, you know what? I don't care what I look like, but I got to get a hold of this Jesus, because I've been sitting in day six for way too long. I've dealt with this issue for way too long. So it's time for me to do something that I've never done. I have got to get a hold of Jesus like I never have, because I want to be delivered. I want to have something happen in my life. So I need a move of God in my life. Amen. I don't want to listen to story after story after story. I don't want to read about it on Facebook anymore, of how somebody was healed over there and filled with the Holy Ghost over there. But I need it in my life. I need it in my family. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, give us a spirit of dominion. That Jesus, I want to walk in apostolic anointing. Hallelujah. Jesus, I don't want to listen to the stories anymore, but I want to be the story. Amen. I want to walk in the story. This church will walk in the story. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray that today was an encouragement to somebody other than me, that day six won't last forever. The sun will go down and the sun will rise. Amen. And day seven is coming. Day seven is coming. Your answer is closer than you think. Just keep on walking. Just keep on praying. Keep on seeking His face. Keep on fasting. If you haven't started, start now and watch God work. Don't be surprised if He won't jump in and nothing happens. But say, put in your spirit that, God, I want to do something. God, I want to keep on walking. Jesus, I need this, God. So I'm going to be faithful, amen, and seek You until, amen. Lord knows we need the attitude that I think previous generations had, and that was to push, to pray until something happened. Amen? No matter how long it takes. Right? Amen. Amen. Jesus and the apostles, they spent days together. And you hear these stories of the people of God meeting and spending hours together. And we live in such a quick society. And quick life. I'm not saying we have to take off a week of vacation from work to be here at the church, but I'm saying let's put a pause on everything else and just pray until something happens, to just keep on seeking Him until we see day seven. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to get an attitude that I am going to worship You until day seven. That Jesus, I'm not going to listen to all these voices around me, Jesus, but I am going to thank You and worship You and seek Your face until day seven comes, because the walls are coming down in my life, Jesus. I thank You, Lord God, for the promises that You've made to Your people. Thank You for Your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name, bless Your people, God, and keep them.